where in Book of Exodus, chapter 23, starting from verse 1.
Thou shalt not raise a false report. Put not thine hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil, neither shalt thou speak in a cause to decline after many to wrest judgment.
Now, here the word of God is saying, you should not be false witness, and you should not be joined with the wicked people to do the unrighteous witness, means false witness. There are so many people, sometimes they get tempted to do the false witness because of some friendship, or somebody gives them some bribe or something. But we will be reading in this chapter, taking bribe also is bad. So God strictly says, you should not be false witnesses. Verse 2.
Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil, neither shalt thou speak in a cause to decline after many to wrest judgment.
Now here also he says, sometimes people think many people are doing false witnesses, or many people are doing wrong thing and marching and picketing, so there's nothing wrong, I'll join with them because many people are doing the same thing. But many people doing the wrong thing doesn't mean you could do the same thing. We have to follow the Lord. We have to hold the truth. Because some evil people doing evil things, we should not be joining those evil people, or we should not be giving the wrong judgment or wrong witnesses because many people are doing it, so that's okay. Today's society, many people doing wrong thing, they think everybody's doing it, so that's okay. We have to study the Word of God. If the Word of God says so, that you should not be doing it, doesn't matter, millions are doing it, we are not supposed to do and follow the evil people or multitudes of evil people. Verse 3.
Neither shalt thou countenance a poor man in his cause.
Now, here is saying sometimes somebody is rich and some poor person doing something, so even though he is not doing something, they will, looking that face, and give the evil judgment or side to the rich man's cause and try to do something harm to the poor person because he has no defense. But we should not be looking at a poor person and he is not going to drag me to court, he doesn't have money, so I can do whatever I want to do this. If we do that, God is going to judge us. Verse 4.
If thou meet thine enemy's ox or his ass going astray, thou shalt surely bring it back to him again.
Now here is saying, if you find your enemy's ox or even a donkey going astray, you should be, if you find your enemy's ox or donkey or any animal or anything on the way and they are going astray and you saw it, you are not going to say, well, he is my enemy, and if his animals running away and even though I know it, I'm not going to tell him because he is my enemy. The Word of God says you should not do that. You should try to bring those animals and give it to your enemy, because God wants us to love our enemy. Book of Romans chapter 12, he says, your enemy hungry, feed him, and if he's thirsty, give him something to drink or water to drink. We can win the enemies with doing good. This is a good chance. If your enemy is in trouble, you should be helping him. That's the way of the Word of God is saying. Verse 5.
If thou see the ass of him that hateth thee lying under his burden and wouldest forbear to help him, thou shalt surely help with him.
Now he says another thing, even the donkey. Donkey is not valuable than ox. But he says if a donkey got into a ditch and dying or helpless, so you should not be saying, well, this is just a donkey, I'm not going to help. He says, even the donkey, or less worth animal. You should be helping, taking out of the pit, or try to rescue that animal. That's what God wants. So God is trying to tell us we should be a good witness to others. We cannot say nobody's watching, so why should I help? God is watching all the time. Book of Hebrews chapter 4 verse 13, it says, there is nothing hidden in the eyes of God, everything open and naked to his eyes. So God is watching, even though nobody's watching. So we have to please our God, not to people. Verse 6.
Thou shalt not rest the judgment of thy poor in his cause.
And again he's saying in the verse 6, you should not be giving wrong judgment to the poor people, because poor people do not have money to fight or go to court or hire the lawyer. So we should not be ignoring the poor people and not giving them right judgment and do wrong thing to them, because God loves everyone. Verse 7.
Keep thee far from a false matter, and the innocent and righteous slay thou not, for I will not justify the wicked.
Now again he says, you should not be doing unrighteousness to him. If you do that, the word of God says, I will not justify the wicked. That means you do your right thing and God is the righteous judge. We should not be judging others or false person. We should be doing the right thing, and God knows what is right and what is wrong. We should not be taking judgment in our hands. Verse 8.
And thou shalt take no gift, for the gift blindeth the wise and perverteth the words of the righteous.
Now here he says gift. Actually, this is not a gift, this is a bribe. So the word of God says, do not take the bribe. If you take the bribe, the person who gives the bribe, only one reason he has, that you should be siding with him if he's doing something wrong or is he something doing falsely, so you should not be witnessing against him. So that's why people give the bribe, and the word of God says bribe shuts the mouth of the righteous. So righteous people should not be taking bribe for anybody. This is says gift, so it's not a gift, but it's a bribe, trying to shut your mouth, giving you money. Sometimes people give lump sum money to shut our mouths, but we should not be taking money and taking somebody's sides. We should be always truth. The word of God says yes, yes, no, no, more than that is sin. Verse 9.
Also thou shalt not oppress a stranger, for ye know the heart of a stranger, seeing ye were strangers in the land of Egypt.
If you find a stranger, or the stranger does something which you don't like, you don't harass the strangers or try to make him feel bad, because he says you were in stranger in Egypt, and once you are in slavery, you know how other people treat you. So the strangers in your land, you should not treat him like an enemy, but treat him like a gentleman or the friend, because God loves everyone. And the word of God says sometimes you can entertain strangers. Sometimes the angel will take the form of strangers and come to you to check how you behaving with the strangers. And we have so many examples in the word of God. Abraham entertained strangers and many others. So the word of God is saying, when we are citizens and some strangers or some immigrant comes to our country, we should treat them respectfully. Verse 10.
And 6 years thou shalt sow thy land and shalt gather in the fruits thereof, but the seventh year thou shalt let it rest and lie still, that the poor of thy people may eat, and what they leave the beasts of the field shall eat. In like manner thou shalt deal with thy vineyard and with thy olive yard.
When you sow in your farm or vineyard, he says 6 years you should sow and get the crop, get all the fruits and vegetables and grain. But the 7th year, you should not be doing anything. Let it be barren. whatever the fruit comes, remaining seeds or something like that. So you should not be going and harvesting, but let it poor people take it. Let the animal will take it and let it be there, because God wants those poor people and the animal to eat it. And if to keep the land barren, the following years, it will give much more fruits. So God says, give the rest to the land. Just like God gave the commandment that you should keep the Sabbath, 6 days you work, seventh day you take the rest. But now the farming, he says, your farm or your field, you work in that field for 6 years, seventh years you keep it, don't do anything, give the rest to the land.
12.
6 days thou shalt do thy work, and on the seventh day thou shalt rest, that thine ox and thine ass may rest, and the son of thy handmaid and the stranger may be refreshed.
Now here again he's saying, you can work 6 days, seventh day you take rest, don't work. But somebody will say, well, I'm not working, but let my servant work. He said, you should not be allowing your servant or anybody living in your household. They should not be working, or even your servants and your strangers who is guest in your house, or who just came to see you or meet you. Don't think these people do not have to obey the law. And so he said, each and everyone, Sabbath day should be taking rest. This is a very good example for us. Sometimes some strangers or friends or somebody comes to our house in the time of Sunday. They try to tell you that we came to see you, so you should not be going to church, entertain us. Even the Sunday is not a Sabbath day. Sunday is the first day of the week. But the point I'm making, if anyone lives in your house, you should be telling them the rule is the same. Just like in Sabbath, they have to worship the Lord and they don't have to do anything. So we are not observing the Sabbath, but we go to church, we worship the Lord, and so each and every family members or guest or friend, everybody has to go to church or pray. If they don't, they have no reason to staying with you. Verse 13.
And in all things that I have said unto you, be circumspect, and make no mention of the name of other gods, neither let it be heard out of thy mouth.
Sometimes people might be thinking, how can we do not take the name of other gods? Because sometimes we have to mention what other gods are, because in the Bible many times they mention the Baal god and that different kinds of god. Here is saying, do not take their name in your mouth, means you don't worship them. You don't give them respect or try to keep them in your heart and give them respect. He says, you don't do that because those are heathen gods, and we have nothing to do with those gods, because those gods are demons. They are not God, they are against God. So if we worship those gods, we will be guilty. So the word of God is saying, you don't have to take their name, you don't have to worship them, and you have to leave them alone, because we do not want anything, filthy things coming in our mouth. Verse 14.
Three times thou shalt keep a feast unto me in the year.
In a year, you should have at least three feasts. And now he's giving what are those feasts are. Verse 15.
Thou shalt keep the feast of unleavened bread. Thou shalt eat unleavened bread 7 days, as I commanded thee, in the time appointed of the month Abib. For in it thou camest out from Egypt, and none shall appear before me empty.
You have to remember that you came out of the Egypt, and that's the time God told them to take the lamb, put his blood on the top of the door and the side of the door, and the death angel will come and see the blood and pass over that house. And if some other houses who do not have the blood, that house, the firstborn will be killed. And so the Israeli people obeyed, and then God gave them the rule, every year you should be remembering this feast. And that feast is called the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And so they should be not eating any leaven, and they will be keeping that day as a memorial that God brought them out of Egypt. Verse 16.
And the feast of harvest, the first fruits of thy labors, which thou hast sown in the field, and the feast of ingathering, which is in the end of the year, when thou hast gathered in thy labors out of the field.
Now here he given two different feasts. One is the first fruit. When you gather the first fruit, whatever the first fruit comes, give to the Lord and remember God. And then other feast is everything gathered, and now you're keeping in the storage, and then you're sitting and say, wow, this much I got this end of the year or end of the season, so remember, and then do the feast. And that particular time means remember God and give your offering also. So the first is unleavened, feast of unleavened bread. The second was the first fruit, and third was the feast of the gathering your fruits in the end of the year. Verse 17.
Three times in the year all thy males shall appear before the Lord God.
And this is where he says three times a year, each time you're doing this feast, all the male child or male person coming and worshiping God and thanking God. And so here he's saying three times a year, and one time is every Sabbath. But for Christians, we should worship God every day, every month, every year, and all the time, because there is no time set for the Christians what time you should worship, what time you should give thanks. Those people, they have certain months and certain feasts, but we should give thanks every day. Verse 18.
Thou shalt not offer the blood of my sacrifice with leavened bread, neither shall the fat of my sacrifice remain until the morning.
Now here he's saying you should not be offering the blood with leavened bread. And he says you should not be keeping the fat for my sacrifice until the morning. That means the fat has to be burned, not keeping. And when you're giving the blood sacrifice, he doesn't want any leaven mix it. Means you have to give the pure blood sacrifice, nothing added into it. So God wants the offerings, whatever is belong to him, you give it to him. In certain chapters we will be reading later on, the fat is belong to God. They were not allowed to even eat fat. So the fat is belong to God. He says, you offering the fat, you don't keep it for next day. Verse 19.
The first of the first fruits of thy land thou shalt bring into the house of the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not see the kid in his mother's milk.
Now here again he says, first fruit, you give it to the Lord, means like an offering. And so, and then he said, you should not be cooking the goat baby with the mother's milk. And so, I don't know, that can be some medical reason, but at the same time, seems to be bad, the baby is killed and taking the mother's milk and cooking in that. And so I think it seems like a little bit depressing, but sometime maybe is something the medical reason might be. But here the word of God is saying, whatever you bring the first fruit of the land, you give, bring it to the house of God, and you shall not be cooking the baby goat in mother's milk. Okay, verse 20.
Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way, and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared.
I am going to send an angel before you to keep you and bring you into the place which I have prepared. That means God already prepared the place for the children of Israel at that particular time. And he says, I am going to send my angel to guide you, to protect you, to lead you, and to keep you safe. Verse 21.
Beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice, and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies, and an adversary unto thine adversaries.
Now here he's saying, this is looks like an unusual angel. So God is saying, I'm going to send the angel before you. He will keep you. He will bring you the place I prepared. And then he says, beware of him. That means you obey his voice. You do not provoke him. And if you do that, that will be, he will not forgive you. And you will be disobeying him, because he said, if you do that, this angel bears my name in him. So when I was reading this, I thought this is not an ordinary angel, because angel has no authority to forgive you or pardon you. So that's why some people are thinking he's talking about Jesus, because some of the Bibles, they put the capital H for him. We believe that Jesus Christ was leading them and guiding them and protecting them and supplying their needs and giving them guidance. If you remember, when Gideon saw the angel standing, he said, who are you? So he says, I am the commander of the Lord's army. I am the host. So that cannot be ordinary angel. So Jesus Christ was with these people. So Jesus Christ was with them all the time. But those people did not know, Old Testament people, that was Jesus. Only we know, when we study the New Testament, then we know that God the Father and God the Son, all the time they work together. And so even the Jesus was not revealed here, but he says he bears my name, Yeshua or Joshua or Jesus, same name is God with us, Emmanuel. And so here we see, he says, you have to obey his voice. Just like angel brought the word to Zechariah, and Zechariah did not believe, and so angel told him, you will be mute. I don't think angel had the authority to do that, but I think angel might have asked God, if I give him the message and if he doesn't listen, then what I do? Then God might have given him permission to make him mute. So the angels are the messengers. So this is not an ordinary angel. We do not have to confess our sins to angel. We don't have to worship the angel. And we don't have to think that they are gods. Okay, verse 23.
For mine angel shall go before thee, and bring thee in unto the Amorites, and the Hittites, and the Perizzites, and the Canaanites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off.
Now here is again says my angel. They were angels, and they were Son of God also. So sometimes it can be confused, but where it says, obey him, he will pardon you, he will not forgive you, or he bears my name, at that particular time, I would believe that's saying about Jesus. But other time when you say normal angels, they can do these kind of things too. Verse 24.
Thou shalt not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do after their works, but thou shalt utterly overthrow them and quite break down their images.
Now see, before that we learn, do not take their God's name in your mouth, but now he says you don't worship them, and you do not serve them. You should be destroying them utterly. If any image you see, those images, and they are handmade, they are man-made, so those images you should not worship, you should not keep, you should not keep as a souvenir. Or sometimes people go to foreign countries and bring those gods, silver and gold, to keep it as a souvenir. Sometimes some Hindu friend or some other friends will give those kind of gods. But the word of God says you should not be taking it, you should not be keeping it, you should destroy them, because if you keep them or worship them, God's curse will come upon us. So we should be always staying away from the images, the man-made image. Verse 25.
And ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee.
If you do not worship other gods, if you would not follow other gods, if you do not take their name in your mouth, and if you don't worship them, then God will be pleased. Here he's saying, then God will give you plenty of food and water. And this food and water, not only he's giving, but he says, I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. That means there will be no polluted food, there will not be polluted drinks. Sometimes you are in the wilderness, there are many problems, bitter water or salty water or no water, and they were complaining to God, but God says, why this happens? You don't get water and we don't get food on time because you are going after other gods or you are not worshiping God. The people who worship God, God supplies their need. He says, my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. The word of God says, even the young lion will go hungry, but whoever serves the Lord, they are their children, will not beg for bread. And that's a true verse. If somebody is serving the Lord, that person will not go hungry or thirsty. God always provides. Here he says, I will give you plenty of food and water. Not only that, but your bread will be blessed and your water will be blessed. That means you will not have famine, you will not have a poisonous water, because in this 21st century, the water is polluted. People are drinking bottled waters and things like that. But the word of God says, God will supply our food and our water. Not only that, supplying only, but he is blessing our food and he is blessing our water. And he promises he will take the sickness away from the midst of thee. Means in your family, in your house, there won't be sickness, there won't be disease. If you read the 91 Psalm, it says thousands and thousands will be falling on your right and left. You will see with your eyes, but it will not come upon you. God has given us promises, and his promises are true. He will not keep us sick or weak or suffering. There are some people think God gives us a sickness, and when the sickness comes, we should be thanking God. God does not give sickness. St. John chapter 10, verse 10, it says, the enemy, the devil, the thief, he comes and gives the sickness and disease. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus says, I have come to give you life and more abundant life. Abundant life is in Christ Jesus. If you are suffering with the sickness and disease, and you have lack of food, and lack of water, and some of the people, like in Africa, they have famine all the time, and their water is polluted so many times, and they don't have food. And some of the African people, when they called me or they write to me, one person wrote to me, he said, oh, we have famine here, Pastor Peter, could you please pray? I prayed and wrote him an email and gave him Bible scriptures. And then he wrote us back. He said, your prayer is heard and we have rain here. And one village, a whole village came to Jesus Christ. And that village, they have water, they had food, they have all kinds of vegetable and everything. And surrounding villages, they had the famine. How it happened? The word of God says so. He says, if you trust me, if you serve me, and if you worship me, then I will bless your bread, I will bless your water, and I will take the sickness away among your people. This word is not ordinary. This word has power. Each and every word of God is powerful and truth. I trust the word of God, I believe the word of God, and by the grace of God, I am living healthy. Since 1956 until today, no medicine, no doctor. God has blessed my food, he has blessed my water. So by the grace of God, Christian people should be living a prosperous, healthy life. Okay, verse 26.
There shall nothing cast their young nor be barren in thy land. The number of thy days I will fulfill.
Once you have blessed water, blessed food, and no sickness and no disease in the midst of your family or house, and so what will happen? He says, in that case, nobody will have miscarriages, nobody will be barren in your family, they will be living a long life. This is the fruitful life is for the children of God. The barren people means the people who are barren, the ladies, that barren is a curse. But once we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ takes the curse away. Galatians chapter 3 verse 13, he says, please read 13 and 14.
Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith.
We receive the promises by faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. So that means the people who are disobeying the law, they were cursed. But Jesus Christ came, fulfilled the law, went on the cross, died for us, took our sickness, disease, and death penalty, and he redeemed us. Not only that, he rose again the third day. So now there is no death penalty because we are passed from death unto life. St. John chapter 5 verse 24, he says, we pass from the death unto life. Why? Because we believe in Jesus Christ.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life.
See, if you believe the God the Father, and you don't believe the Son, you will not have eternal life. But if you believe the Father, you believe His Son, because He sent His Son to die on the cross of Calvary. So when you believe Jesus Christ, who died for you, who rose again, then you have eternal life. You pass from death unto life. Not only that, there is no condemnation. God is not going to judge you. God is not going to send you to hell, because Jesus Christ took your death penalty on the cross. So we should be thankful to God. Here the word of God is saying, if you listen to me, if you obey me, I will bless your bread, I will bless your water, I will take the sickness away, I will not bring any problem to your family, your wives or your family members will not be barren, they will produce the fruits, they will live a longer life, and they will fulfill their days in joy and peace. And so this is the blessings of God once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or you obey God. Exodus chapter 23 verse 26.
I will send my fear before thee, and will destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come, and I will make all thine enemies turn their backs unto thee. And I will send hornets before thee, which shall drive out the Hivite, the Canaanite, and the Hittite from before thee.
I will send my fear before thee. That means they were traveling, and they have to defeat 31 kings and 7 nations. So now he is saying, when you're going, I'm going to put my fear in their heart, and I'm going to destroy those people. And so when the Israeli people are coming, all the enemies, they were already afraid of Israeli people, because they defeated so many people, God divided the sea, and all these miracles people saw, so the people were afraid. God put the fear in their heart. And verse 28, he says, I will send the hornets before thee. Now he's saying he will send this kind of hornets. They are like a flying insects, and they are very poisonous. When they bite, you can get so much pain, stinking pain. And so he said, I'm going to send them. And when he sends those hornets, they are not one or two. They come like billions of them, like a flood. And so the people are afraid, and they will run for their life. And so when they run, Israeli people will have easy time to settle down, because they have seen in Egypt all kinds of disaster came to Egyptians, but the children of Israel, they were safe. verse 29.
I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field multiply against thee.
Now see, Israeli people might be thinking, all these enemies should be destroyed once and for all. But the God says, if I allow these people to run away from you in within a year, then what would happen? The land will be empty and you are not going to travel that fast. So the lions and the vicious animal will come and they will harass you. From this you know, the animals, they are afraid of people. Sometimes people are afraid of animals, but God has given us authority over the animals. Some animals, even that they smell you, smell of man makes them crazy, they run away. Many animals, they also afraid of each other. But the man, they are afraid more. Sometimes when we run from them, they follow you. Even the dog. You stare at dog, and when he's barking, he will not come and bite you. When he start barking and you start running, he will surely bite you. When you stand, enemy will run away. That's what the word of God says. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. We don't have to run from the enemy. We have to resist the enemy. If you see in the Ephesians chapter 6, there the armor of God is given. But in the back, there is no armor. What does it mean? You should not be turning your back to your enemy. You have to face the enemy and you have to defeat the enemy. And God has given the power. He says, you know, I am going to send this hornet. I'm going to put the fear in their heart. They will be running, but I'm not going to let them run too far and the land will be empty and enemy will come. And so we will do it a little bit at a time. Verse 30.
By little and little, I will drive them out from before thee. By little and little, I will drive them out from before thee until thou be increased and inherit the land.
That's what he's saying. Little by little, I will push them away, and then you come to that land, cultivate the land, stay in the land, possess the land, and move forward little by little, and I will give the land. Now, this chapter you will see, God is giving the land and boundary and everything. But today if you see, Israeli people got their land, but the enemy is telling Israeli people is stolen our land and they don't know the history. This land was not given to Palestine, Palestinian people. This land was given to the children of Israel. Let's read and find out. Let's read the verse 31.
And I will set thy bounds from the Red Sea even unto the sea of the Philistines, and from the desert unto the river. For I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and thou shalt drive them out before thee.
Now see, the boundaries are given, the Red Sea, the Palestine Sea. He says here river, but he says the Euphrates rivers, and all of this land is given to the children of Israel. And so now if you see, the whole land Israeli people are not possessing. They have little land, and the enemies are telling, give us more land and give us more land. But the word of God is saying here, I have given these boundaries, and you should be holding those lands and don't give it to anybody. And if they come and you fight, or sometime they might come and say, okay, we don't want to fight. We will give our land, or you give our land and make a treaty. And so he said, don't do that. Egypt and Jordan, they took it. And then they wanted to give it back, but they said, okay, we are going to give you back, but make a treaty with us. You will never fight with us, and we will not fight with you, and we will not make war with you. But what happened? Now the Egyptian is given to another party, and now those people do not want to believe that treaty, and they want to destroy the Israeli people. God knew beforehand that if they do treaty with other people, they will have problem. Please read the verse 32.
Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor with their gods.
See, here is saying covenant means treaty. You don't make treaty with them or their gods. And so this is against the word of God. Verse 33.
They shall not dwell in thy land, lest they make thee sin against me. For if thou serve their gods, it will surely be a snare unto thee.
See, this is what he says, when you take their land, you don't worship their God, and you don't take their gods, and you don't keep their God, and you don't worship their God, you don't follow their God. Not only that, you don't make a promise or treaty or covenant with them that, well, okay, this is a very beautiful carved image, so we are not going to destroy your image. We are going to let it be there, and so other people will come to see it. Now we see in Egypt, some Muslim places, when they took the country from Hindu people, and they had the Buddhas and Hindu pictures and everything, but some of the Muslim people destroyed it. But some places, they are still there, and people do go to see all kinds of these Egyptian gods or old gods or Egyptian statues and things like that. And sometimes what happens, some people will say, oh, this is my great, 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 great grandfather's idol, so I'm going to go back to the worshipping the, what do you call, these idols. And sometimes people go back and start doing. We saw a few days ago, December 21st, they said, the Mayan calendar said the world is going to be destroyed, and many people, they move here after that, and people start going and visiting their place, and people were worshipping these idols and showing them and trying to make interest to other people to go back and worship their gods. That's what the Word of God is saying. When you see their God and when you defeat them, don't take them as a souvenir. Destroy them, don't worship them, and don't keep any covenant with them, because God is against those gods. God is against those people. Sometimes people might be thinking, if you read the Old Testament, from now we're reading from the Genesis, and we are in the book of Exodus, and following that we will be seeing all the wars, and God already said in this, I'm going to defeat those people. And some people will come and ask you a question, what kind of God is yours? He said you should destroy those people and their gods and everything. But earlier we studied in the same chapter, he said if the stranger comes to your land and the stranger comes to your house, and that stranger also has to have the same rule. He should keep the Sabbath, he should worship the Jehovah God, and then you should not be harming that person. But here, these people are worshipping the idol. They are not worshipping the real God. So the message is to those people, if you worship Jehovah God, if you be circumcised, and if you worship our God, we will not kill you, we will not destroy you. Same way today. If the people come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, they are not our enemies. They can be Muslim, they can be Hindu, they can be Buddhist. We call them brothers, our Christian brothers. But the Word of God says we should not be unequally yoked. We should not be having deep friendship with unbelievers. Why? Because they will pull you to their God. We have an example of Solomon. Solomon was a wise man, but he married so many heathen ladies, and they told him to make a temple for our heathen God. You have a beautiful temple for your God. Why can't you make a temple for our God? And they tried to win his heart with their enticing word, and he did build the temple for the heathen God and went with them to worship the God. The point I'm making, God is a loving and kind. But in 21st century, what God is telling us, God is not telling us to kill your enemy, but he says, love your enemy, feed your enemy, tell them our God is love. And why are we preaching to you? Why are we giving Bible to you? Not to destroy you, but to bring you from destruction. Because the Word of God says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So our Lord wants to save you, and we don't want to destroy you. We are not your enemy. We are only enemy to your gods, because your gods are not real gods. And so your God is taking you to hell. You cannot make God from your own hand and worship them. How can the foolish people can do this? And that's what the word of God is saying. You should not allow this thing happen, because if you go to that country and you find any idols, destroy. And otherwise somebody will be tempted to do the idol worship. So here the word of God is saying in this whole chapter, first of all, God gives different kinds of rules and regulations, but ending the chapter, important thing is saying how to keep the Sabbath, how to worship God, and if you do worship God, He will keep you healthy, He will bless your water, He will bless your bread, and He will take the sickness midst of your people. God's children should be always healthy and wealthy. And so that's what God is teaching us. Okay, shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. Thank you, Lord, that you have called us with a definite high calling. And we are not going to follow any God. We are not going to worship any images. We are not going to have a friendship with enemies. But we are going to worship the living God. And thank you, Lord, you have given us grace to find who real God is. Jesus Christ is our real God. He's your Son. You sent Him from heaven to die for us, and He rose again. He is a living God. Today, we believe God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, Triune God, loves us, lives among us, and within us. Give us grace to follow you, not to follow any enemy. We commit ourselves into your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.